we continue in our study in this thought, A High Price to Pay, we're going to look at our last two points in this lesson in verses 35 through 38. So we left off at verse 34 and the pattern that Jesus preached to these folks. He's revealed his intent to his disciples about the true reason that he's come to earth, and that was to die, not to take up the kingdom. He was going to die, and that for the sins of mankind. A lot of people just kind of overlook that. They just, you know, that they don't really think about themselves in that way. And he was trying to show them that they needed salvation. Amen. He's just basically shattered every notion that they've come to believe about the Messiah and what he was going to do. They looked at that side that was, you know, pleasing. It would have been, you know, that's what they wanted. They wanted to be delivered from their enemies. They wanted to come out from the oppression. Nobody likes to be oppressed. Nobody likes to be trodden down. And for years, the Romans had occupied Jerusalem and the nation of Israel, and they were hoping that God was going to deliver them, just like he used Moses to deliver the children out of Egypt. They were hoping that Jesus was going to be their deliverer, and in that sense of, you know, from their oppression. But he had other plans this time. He's coming again. When he does, he'll come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They just had missed it. I was reading this morning in the book of Acts, and Paul was before Felix and who was a king, Agrippa, and was it Festus and Agrippa? Okay, Festus and Agrippa. But anyways, he was before those two guys. And he said to them that, you know, I'm just telling you what the prophets said about the coming of Christ. Now, Paul saw that. After he got saved, he saw it. And he went back and he visited those scriptures that depicted the death of the Messiah. And he showed that. I mean, they went to Psalm 22 and the other great Psalms that depicted, you know, the suffering of the Savior. Well, there was suffering before there will be this great salvation. I don't mean that in the sense that, you know, us being saved, but him coming again and delivering the nation of Israel and all the world. Amen? But they didn't see that interim. It was kind of hidden there. The cross was kind of hidden to a lot of people because they weren't really looking for it, were they? You know, if you said your deliverer is coming, you wouldn't think of him as what? A suffering servant. You wouldn't think of him that way. And we're not thinking of Christ that way, right? But we have the scriptures to tell us, to foretell us, that we know that that aspect of his life is over. And when he comes again, in his second coming, he's coming as a conquering king. He was a suffering servant. Now he's coming as a conquering king. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. So, many believe that they can, you know, claim today to be followers of Christ. He began to teach them some very difficult truths. You know, a lot of times people don't like the reality of facing the difficult truths in our lives. We're not comfortable with that. People might come in here and you know, for the first time and hear that you have to be born again. Now, all of us, I think this morning, I believe we're all born again. I believe that. But if somebody's not, and they're faced with that reality that they need to be saved, that, you know, there's what they've been doing in their religion, if they're religious, is not adequate to give them eternal life, well, then they got to come to terms with that, don't they? And people don't like to do that. We don't like to look at ourselves and be real. People don't want to be that way. But those that are, those who can look at the tough questions and answer them honestly, what a difference it can make in your life. And a lot of people don't want to answer those questions, so what do? Just stick their fingers in their ears and go on and make up excuses, get mad at you. They do all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know what it's like. If you've ever tried to witness to somebody and to get them to realize that they're lost and on their way to a devil's hell, and they don't think so, right? Why is it? They think they're good enough. People presume on God. You know, you'd think, that people would really look at, you know, I know a guy that he wouldn't get saved because of this reason. His father had died without Christ. His dad died without Christ. And he couldn't come to grips that if he came to the reality that his dad died without Christ, that he was in hell. And they don't want to believe that God would send anybody to hell. Well, God doesn't send anybody to hell. Well, neglect sends somebody to hell. They don't want to believe the truth. They don't want to believe what God says. So either universally we're all saved and nobody is lost, okay? And so we can just eat, drink, and be merry, do whatever we want, right? Is that how it is? How do we know that? Because of passages like this, where the Lord is stark and to the point. And they don't want to look at that. The apostles didn't want to look at that idea that he wasn't going to be their deliverer, at least at that point. He said, I'm coming again, and he made reference to that. But at this point, my ministry is to die for the sins of mankind. Jesus let them know in no uncertain terms that such notions of him being the King of Kings at that point were false. If a person is going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, he's telling them here that they got to pay that high price. And take up their what? Cross. And we looked at all that and deny themselves. Most people don't want to deny themselves. Most people are not spiritual, including us. We have to strive to be spiritual. That's why when the Bible talks about walking in the Spirit, who can tell me what it means to walk in the Spirit? Do you know yet? Praying is a part of it. It's being led by the Holy Spirit. Well, how are you led by the Holy Spirit? Let's ask that question. What's that? Okay, first in salvation, correct. But following the what? The truth. I know what you're saying, Bill. They don't, though. Following the truth of the Word of God. Faith. We live by what? Faith. You just got to tell yourself that every day. I'm going to live by faith today. Okay? So what's the Bible say? I'm going to follow the ways of God. I'm going to follow the truths of God. God says, this is what I need to do to please Him. For without what? It is impossible to please God, right? So I want to please God. Now that I'm saved, I'm a child of God. He's my Heavenly Father. I want to please Him. I want to do the things that are pleasing Him. So I'm going to live by faith. That's walking in the Spirit. Walking by faith. Honoring God's Word. Doing the things that God wants us to do. Looking at ourselves. Looking introspectively at ourselves and what our motives are and what our attitudes are. You know, most people don't want to do that today. Why? Because that's hard to do. Nobody wants to be honest with themselves because nobody wants to think of themselves any worse than they really are. That doesn't mean that I go around and whip myself and I do penance. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's a bunch of nonsense. But it is an understanding of who we really are and what we're capable of. We're capable of the most heinous wickedness there is known to mankind. And if left to ourselves, that's exactly where we'll go. We'll go down that road. I know you're not like that. I'll tell you what, I know I am if I was left to myself, because I know myself. And I've promised God that I am going to be honest with Him in my own life and forthright and say, Lord, okay, I know that's not right and I'm not going to live that way. And then I'm going to try and eliminate those things out of my life. That doesn't mean they come overnight. But like David, Lord, if there's any presumptuous sin, I'm presuming on God. What does that mean? That means I'm just assuming that God is gracious and forgiving and merciful, and oh, he'll overlook that. It's not always true. Now, He is gracious, and He is merciful. And I'm not taking that away from God, but God also wants hearts that are humble and what? Repentant. He wants hearts that look at the truths of the realities of what we are and what we could be. And if it weren't for Him, there's the bottom line. If it wasn't for His leadership in our life, if it wasn't for His direction in our life, if it wasn't for His word and their truths about our life, I mean, when we set out on this journey to be a Christian, we're looking for the truth, right? So how are you going to know the truth? You know, Jesus said, the truth shall what? Make you free, right? We all want to be free, right? I hope. I don't know. Maybe you like the bondage of sin. I don't. I don't like it. I don't like what it does. I don't like the results of it. I don't like any of it. Now, I'm just talking about in our own lives, okay? You can't be responsible for what other people do. But they still affect you, right? It still affects you, right? So, but you got to trust God again. Just let Him do the work. Are you praying? Okay, if you're praying, God's hearing, right? You got to make sure that you tell yourself that. Remind, you know, God is a God that hears and answers prayer. Now, maybe not on our timeline, but He's hearing and He's going to answer prayers. So you can be assured of that. I'm assured of that. I'm assured. I am confident. I like what Paul said. I know whom I've believed and am persuaded that He is able. Amen? He's able. Amen? Have you gotten to that point where you're persuaded? Amen? I don't know. Most people, I don't know if they're persuaded yet. But anyways, let's get back to the high cost. He gave us a penalty of denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Him. Now we're going to be looking at two other thoughts. First, I want to look at the paradox. Now, what is a paradox? Amen? A paradox is a statement that seems contradictory, but is still true. All right? Jesus says that if you believe that having your own way and living your life on your own terms and being your own Lord is more important than surrendering to His Lordship, then He says you're going to lose your life. That's what He says here in verse 35. Read it with me. Verse 35. He says, for whosoever will what? Save his life shall what? Lose it. I mean, that's kind of what? What? But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall what? Save it. So we see here this paradox, this seeming contradiction. And what he's saying in this is, if you're going to do your own thing, well, then you're really going to lose your life, not gain it. When people think that, you know, they protect themselves and they guard themselves, most people today are very guarded. Let me help you. So when you're dealing with people, especially if they don't know you, there is immediately a guard that goes up. You can't just, you just don't plunge into somebody else's life. You can't do that. That's why, you know, a lot of times we want to give out the gospel, and there's times when you have to be confrontational. There's times when you have to get out there and give the gospel. But you don't have to be ugly either, you know? But, I mean, there's times that, you know, some people, I think they think it's a badge of courage to be ugly. They think, oh, I'm going to show those wicked sinners. Well, maybe you better show yourself first being a wicked sinner. And may change your attitude a little bit, you know. Amen? Because we're no better than they are. Except we're saved. Again, by what? Grace. Amen. So anyways, there's a paradox here. And he says that if you'll keep your life, you're really not keeping it. You're what? Losing it. He says, though, however, if you yield your life to him and let it be under his control, and that's a hard thing for people to do, to give up control of something. Especially when they have it. And you do, you have your life, right? Go ahead. Well, that's because you can control that. Because you can. What happens, though, later on when you can't do that, then if you beat yourself up over it, when it's really not, you can't do that anymore. That's especially the older we get, the less that we can do. And just, you can't do some things anymore. I saw that in Bill yesterday. We were working at doing some stuff around the yard. And by the way, thank you so much for everybody that came out and helped yesterday. It was a blessing. We got a lot done. But there was something we were trying to pull on, and Bill and I were kicking it with our feet. We didn't want to pull on it, you know? And Bill just walked away and says, I'm not pulling on that because I'm not pulling my back out. And I thought, well, good for you. Amen. Because Bill's not like that. Bill, you know, he does things, and he wants, you know, if something's got to be done, he just does it, you know. He doesn't think about it. But there's some things you can't do the older you get. I'm getting that way. I'm sorry. I can't, you know, my wife wants me to go out for a walk with her, okay? And I would love to go walk with her. I can only go so far, though, because my legs go numb. And that's just because I'm dealing with back issues, and it's just the way it is. I can only walk so far. Now I can ride my bike, and I don't have any problems. So I do that. I try to ride my bike, and I try to find an alternative. I just don't give up. Well, I can't walk. That's it. I'm not going to do nothing. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So for me, that's, you know, it's an option. I do it. But we want to be in control. I'm just saying, that's people, and to give up control of your own life to an entity that you really can't see, and in our minds, really, there's no, in our minds, if something is not directly involved, but he is, he wants to be involved, if we'll let him. But the only way that he's going to do anything in our lives is if we ask him to do it. It's always that way. He's not going to do anything outside of a request of faith according to his word to do what he wants done. He's laid out what is required of thee, O man. What's required? Now it's up to us to what? Surrender to that. Understand. Now, you can't lose. Here's the thing. We're so afraid to step out by faith because we're afraid that we're going to be hurt or we're going to lose or something's going to happen. We're fearful. I'm sorry. But God says that he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's where most people are today in their walk with God, is giving over the reins of your life to him and just say, Lord, you are who you said you are. You are the Almighty. You are in control of all things. But because in our minds, we don't see a direct involvement, you know, we pray a specific way. Like that's the only way that any situation can be solved, right? And then it doesn't happen. Well, God doesn't care. That's how people think. That's not how it works. God says, you pray and let me do. And I'll work on it. Because I know way better than you. But most of us don't think that God knows better than us. Because we haven't done what? Relinquished the control of our life to God. Until people relinquish that control to God, I mean, 100%, things aren't going to change. They're always going to be the same. We're always going to deal with the same fearfulnesses and the anxieties and the doubts, and all those things are going to just... I found the plant, brother. It's in the bookstore. Joshua is stealing it on us. Josh! Sorry. You know, from a human perspective, this idea of relinquishing control makes no sense. It makes no sense because we don't want to do that. Because if we do, what happens then? We become vulnerable. Nobody wants to be vulnerable. Do you want to be vulnerable? Nobody. We want to protect ourselves. It's you know, fight or flight. It's all that idea of, okay? But with God, you don't have to worry about it. He's going to take care of you. Amen? All right. Let's look at verse 35. He says, the way to save your life is to lose it. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake, and the gospel is the same, shall save it. So we have a choice. We can live our life as we see fit, or we can refuse to come to the Lord, which so many people do today, for salvation first and then for sanctification later after you're saved. We can do all the calling of the shots. We can be our own boss. We can do as we please, live in our life our own way and on our own terms. But in the end, Jesus says what? You'll lose it. And if you don't get saved, it's going to be a sad day. Now, if you are saved and you're still not living for the Lord, it's going to be a sad day. And I'm telling Christians that. That's why we need to believe these truths and follow them. This is what the Lord said. This is not thus saith Pastor Britt. This is thus saith the Lord. Amen? All right? So when we reach the end of our way, how many believe they're going to get there to the end of their way? We're all going to get there, right? Some of us are just a little closer than others. But we're getting there. We're going to find out, and those who aren't saved, they're going to find out that their eternity is going to be separated from God in a place called hell. That's unreversible, folks. You can't change that. That's an awful thing. And, you know, I've heard all kinds of different stories about what hell is. And I'll tell you what, anything outside of the presence of God is going to be hell. And I think a lot of times that's God's plan, is to use those struggles of life to draw men to himself. To bring men to themselves, for people to get to the end of themselves and say, hey, I'm sick and tired of this. I can't do this anymore, Lord. And crawl out. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, the will of man is a very ornery, strong element in a person's life. You know, how many have ever seen somebody die? You know, just old age, cancer, whatever. You know, it's not like they die like, you know, like a heart attack. Sometimes you get hit by a heart attack and boom, they're dead, right? But when you know, in the old days, they called cancer wasting, the wasting disease. Because people just what? You just watched them waste away. Why is it? It's because the body is fighting the whole time. You know? It just doesn't quit. Because it doesn't want to, it is self-preservation in mind. You know? It doesn't want to die. Why do animals fight? You ever see animals fight? You know, a crocodile wants to eat another animal, or you know, a cheetah, or all those animals, they fight to the death. Why? Because they don't want to die. What is it? Sure it is. Men have that too. We all have that. The body doesn't want to die. But the Lord said, if you don't lose your life, if you don't relinquish over the control of your life to the Lord, especially in salvation, then when your time is over, it doesn't make any sense to me. But on the other hand, he says, if we commit our life to the Lord, we can deny our own selves, give up our rights, surrender to his lordship, and follow him faithfully. And those people that have can attest to the blessings that life brings when you do. I can tell you something. When I finally just said, Lord, I'm not going to live my life my way. I'm going to live it your way. And when I did and I surrendered to the Lord, what a blessing. I mean, things just started turning around. Things started changing. Everything else seemed like nothing but an uphill battle and just a fight all the time. Everything seemed like a battle. I'd always say, why does everything got to seem like a battle? I mean, it still does, but I've got a different perspective now. Now I know the Lord can take care of things. And so, I'm looking at it from a different perspective. And so I have that peace of God that helps me through those difficult times in life. Amen. Because he wants to lead us. And he wants to carry the burden if we'll let him. But we don't want to what? Relinquish it. We don't want to give over to God. And that's sin, folks, really. Especially for the Christian. Not to surrender to God and let him do in your life what he wants to do. You know, I think we're so afraid that he's just going to manipulate us like a puppet and just abuse us. And, you know, just because men do that, and that's exactly how we think. We think, that's how I've been treated all my life. And then, so what we do is we overlay that with God. Now, if I just give myself over to God, he's just going to take advantage of me. But I can understand why some people would think that, because other people have taken advantage of them. And the only thing they know is what they've experienced. Until you really step out by faith and let God lead your life, nothing's going to be changed. And that's not an easy thing to do, and I understand that. And that's why I try to be patient with people, and I don't. But if you're just self-willed and you just want to do whatever you do, and no matter what anybody tells you to do, you're just reluctant to do it, or you're just not going to do it because you're not going to have anybody tell you what to do. You know what that is, right? Yeah, that's pride. I'm not telling anybody what to do. You can do whatever you want to do. You can do whatever you want to do. But I can guarantee you, like the Lord, I have your best at mind. You say, I don't believe that. You're in it for yourself, preacher. If I was in it for myself, I wouldn't be in it right now. Okay? I'm telling you right now. I would not be here. I'm just being blatantly honest with you. I would not be here because I wouldn't put up with all the nonsense and the garbage that you don't realize that I put up with. Okay? Sorry. I'm not picking on you guys. I'm just saying. There's a lot of nonsense and garbage going on out there, and I wouldn't be in it. But I'm not, because I've come to terms that this is God's call on my life, and I'm going to fulfill what God's called me to do. And I'm going to do it until he takes me home or whatever, until he changes that. Because I've taken up my cross. I've learned to have broad shoulders and take a lot of grief. and put up with it. And yeah, but people have to do that. Most people haven't. And that's exactly what he's telling us to do. Amen? If we're going to save our life, we have to lose it. We have to give it to him and let him take our... You know, in God's economy, losers are really winners. Losers are really winners. It's a paradox. Those who lose their lives by giving them up for the Lord are really winners in the end. Problem is, we want everything now, here and now. We don't want to put things off. I'm trying to think of the word that, you know, for a later time. Well, procrastinating is right, but that's not the word. I'm saying there's a future blessing that you'll have, okay? It's like the person who saves at a 401, and I don't know if this is a good illustration, but they're taking the money now that they could have, but they're saving it for the future. We're taking the blessings of life that we could have now. If I quit tithing and quit giving offerings, you don't realize how much my wife and I live on every year. If I quit, I could live in the lap of luxury, because we lived to learn to do that. We've learned to save and do all that kind of stuff. But because we have chosen to obey God and give, and that, what's the word for a lot? Well, because I could take it all now, or I could wait for future blessings. And I've decided that his blessings in the future are going to be far greater than anything I'm going to get now. And only experience can teach you that, because, you know, the stuff we get now, how long does it last? Where does it always end up? Well, it ends up in your basement, your garage, your attic, or in the garbage. Miss Sandy was saying that some of the boys got holes in their socks, and so she was darning socks. She said, "I don't know why I'm darning socks. Why don't we just go to the store and buy some more socks and throw the other ones out?" Because that's what we are today. You know, in the old days, you would have never done that. You would have never thrown out a pair of socks. You'd have wore those socks until they were holier than the Pope. Okay? I say that tongue in cheek. We live in such a throwaway society. And people throw everything away. They throw away their good character. I'm not just talking about material things. We've got all this stuff. We've been blessed beyond imagination. We got more, but what we need to do, I'm still trying to think of that word, that means you put something off for future rewards. There's a word there. And that's exactly what living for the Lord is. You live as modestly as you can now. Take the means that God has given you to use for him, and you're banking up, investing, well, yeah, in God and his bank, and he gives far greater dividends. You know, his returns aren't 1%. I mean, that's kind of high today for some savings. His returns are manifold, the Bible says. I mean, just over the top. And so we got to live now modestly, humbly, and then later you're going to get your mansion. I'm satisfied, Brother Don. Yeah, amen, brother. You're exactly right. Yep. And when people learn to be thankful in their hearts because they realize who their benefactor is, they realize the source of their blessings. And we are blessed. And God wants to bless us. Don't think just because you have some things that, you know, I'm not saying you got to be a pauper. I'm not saying that at all. If God has blessed you, praise the Lord. That's a blessing that God has blessed you. And I am not jealous of it, let me tell you. All right? Because I've got more than you got. I'm just telling you, I do. My house is paid off. Is yours? Okay? I own a home. I got a roof over my house, my head. I can't believe it. It leaks sometimes. But I got a roof. I got clothes on my back. Amen? Me and Andrew are always trying to outdo each other. Who can get the cheapest suit? I mean, we've got some nice suits. I got this nice suit here. This is a Marc Jeffries. I don't know. Is that a good suit? Marc Jeffries? $5. It's a nice suit, isn't it? I don't know. Marc Jeffries, who he is. Sounds good, though, right? I don't have to pay $1,700 for some suit. I can look nice. God's good. I mean, I got clothes on my back. I got food on my table. I got way too much food on my table. We ate way too much. I got Peeps. How many enjoy Peeps? Stale ones are better, yes. Sorry. Hey, I'm just being honest with you guys. Hey, I got Peeps in my cupboard. God's good. He's better than we deserve. Why not just do as he says? Amen? Let's lose our lives. If you lose your life, he's going to say that in verse 36, for what shall it profit a man? And we're done. If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. We'll talk about that next week. And that idea there. Father, bless our time together. Thank you for being in our midst. And we'll thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.